Well, hello, everyone. This is Barbara Rosgoni with Success Hackers, and I'm here with my friend Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hi, Barb. How are you? I'm great. Happy Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we're really excited to bring you another episode of Success Hackers. Just a little bit about who we are and what we do. I have a company called Corey West Media, and we work with all kinds of organizations to really help them attract attention, build business, and connect with communities all through social media, content marketing, and public relations. How about you, Jeff?
I work for Rightpoint, and we basically make it easier for companies to communicate better internally. We're sort of like a digital agency with a technology firm sort of baked into it.
Very cool.
So there you go.
Yeah. And Jeff, you've been traveling all over. Were you just in Canada? Was that right?
Yeah, I traveled throughout the entire country of Canada, from Halifax to Vancouver and about five cities in between, and ended up in Portland, back in Chicago, and then back to Seattle. And this has been probably the craziest travel month of my career as far as number of cities. So happy to be back.
Yeah. How many miles was that? Do you know?
You know what? I should really add that up. I'll do a Facebook post on the number of miles that I traveled in the past 10 days. And the next doesn't stop. I'm heading to Atlanta for a Microsoft convention or conference. Do they even call them conventions anymore? Conference. And then from there I go to New York City for a SharePoint for internal communications, and then St. Louis for SharePoint Saturday. It just, the fun never ends.
I'll tell you. Wow. Well, I'm glad we were able to catch you today to talk to our guest. Amy, are you on the line, Amy?
I am. It's so exciting to be on here with you two today.
Well, it is for us. And Amy is the founder and owner of Pester Communications. Amy and I have been friends for a long time. We've worked on projects together. And she has quite an outstanding background, both as a media personality, being on television shows as a news anchor, so she gets the news anchor angle. She's worked for major PR firms at the executive level, and now she has a company that really can help different kinds of organizations be much more visible in the news. Amy can say it much better than I can, because I know she has a special way that she works with folks that's just phenomenal. Her results are incredible. And today, Amy's going to be our Success Hackers guest and really talk about how you can achieve better visibility and do more with your personal brand, and really even, you know, how to reinvent yourself.
Yeah, I've been thinking about, you know, when Amy accepted our invitation to be on the show with us, and I've known Amy for a long time as well, and Amy really, very similar to me, but in a different realm, you've really reinvented yourself, and you've became quite a success as sort of I'll call you a one-man wrecking crew, if you will. Your clients love you. I see you at the technology events that your clients invite you to. And tell us maybe one or two things that you've done in the past couple of years that have really sort of changed the way you do business and really changed the whole Amy Hesser brand, if you will.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it, because I am, as you both mentioned, very passionate about our work with our clients here at Hesser Communications Group. We do, as you mentioned, Jeff, work with a lot of technology startups, technology companies, and also healthcare. We've had a lot of exciting healthcare folks end up on our doorstep, and we love working with them and have gotten them some great results in the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and across the board. And what we really specialize in here is what we call tipping point PR. Or I like to call it even quantum public relations, because one of the ways everybody's had to reinvent in PR in the past few years is it's no longer just about the traditional media relations, right? We've got this fractured media landscape, and we've got this new media landscape, or what a lot of us would call social media. But I like to call it the new media, because it really changes the way that we can create news. It's changing how we distribute news, certainly, and it's changing the news flow. And also, today's new media landscape means that the 24/7 news cycle is not just CNN anymore. It never stops. And a big thing I think we can also talk about today is the need for crisis communications and crisis communications planning, because we are in this in this 24/7 news cycle.
Very
yeah, that's
cool.
So important. Yeah, because you just never know when, you know, what's going to happen. And a lot of times you don't even create the news. Someone else creates it. So about you, if you're a company, so you have to always be responsive.
Right. And if it's not handled well these days, it is a runaway train, because the news never stops. And it becomes mm-hmm. this snowball that just builds and builds and builds. And one thing that's true from the old media landscape and today's media landscape is the media herd will run in one direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make sure you're on top of driving the herd in the direction that you want it to go, or it's going to get away from you and it's going to gain momentum.
Great analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing, folks, that is huge today is personal branding, right? We're all individual brands, and we all have this opportunity to really get information out about our personal brands. Certainly, Barbara, as you know, on LinkedIn as a huge platform, and also Facebook, how we're presenting ourselves on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, across the board. And, you know, Barbara, you and I have joked sometimes, but I like to say, everything I need to know I learned in Altoona, because
mm-hmm.
I grew up in one of the greatest hick towns in America, folks. And Altoona, Pennsylvania, I love it. I was happy to grow up there. And one of the things I learned growing up in a small town like that is the importance and the power of reputation. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, there was a builder in town, and there were problems with that builder's property. Like, you know, the built-in swimming pool that leaked down and caused horrible lawsuit problems on the neighbor's property below it, and shoddy construction. Well, you know, that builder was not able to do business in town very long. And then the plumber, who had some shady business dealings, they ended up having to move across the country. They couldn't do business in town too long. So the thing is that reputation precedes you. It really does. And it can make it easier to do business, or harder or impossible to do business. And so, Barbara, I know right now one of the exciting things you have is a coursework for college students to be managing their digital reputations right out of the gate, and it's really important.
Yeah, you're right, Amy. It starts so early now. It really does. So, yeah, and then in my new book, I'm redefining PR as personality and reputation, because I really believe if you don't have those two factors right, and let's face it, they're not all on you. Your whole community contributes to both of them. Then, you know, you don't really have a business that you can run well. So, yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. And I grew up in Danville, Illinois, which is, it's a little bigger than Altoona, but same thing. Yeah, everybody knows everybody. And really, social media has turned the world into a small town where you know, it's really easy to check on someone's background and reputation. So, Jeff, did you have a question for Amy?
Yeah, you know, you talk a lot about, obviously, you know, from a personal standpoint, your builder, your real estate agent, but talk to me about more B2B. I know a lot of your clients are technology firms, and I'm guessing some of them are B2B. From a business-to-business standpoint, what are you thinking is, you know, some criteria for them to, whether it's their reputation or whether it's just goodwill, what's give me one or two tricks or tips that you're using to sort of to bring out the best in them?
Okay, that's a great question, Jeff. So tipping point PR, it's not about having the biggest PR budget. It is about having the most strategic plan. And when we talk about strategic in B2B, we really need to go in with clients and look at who are you trying to sell to exactly? Who are you missing that you should be trying to sell to? And how do we really reach them? Because sometimes clients I've seen, like, they get hung up and they forget that the executives making the buying decisions are actually people, and they are touched across many outlets these days, right? So they're reading some of the top blogs. They're seeing the way news is shared in a viral sense. We have many more opportunities to take every piece of coverage, whether, you know, it is that Wall Street Journal story or the Business Week story. We have so many more avenues to connect that potential buyer with the positive coverage we've generated about your company or organization, because we can share it virally. And we can share it across so many different platforms that these folks are engaged on.
And is there anything that you've done that, you know, an organization, whether it's a national organization or a local organization, that you're like, you guys need to be a part of this? Obviously, I'm partial to a Chicago Social Media Club, but is there any place that that you see that people are going to, for whether they're networking or whether they're, you know, again, going to an association of some sort?
Well, I think it depends on the verticals that they're trying to reach. So they need to really stand out in the environments that their potential buyers deem as important, deem as relevant in their specific verticals. So it's hard to say there's just one place to go, although I'm also partial to Chicago Social Media Club. And I've gotten tremendous value out of that organization over the past few years.
Great.
Yeah, I would say for B2B, one of the best places to look for places to go to connect is LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn for a lot of reasons, but I think it's just there's so many opportunities there. And to Amy's point, if you really want to focus on the people who need to hear your message, it's a wonderful place to find out who those people are and start sharing their message and tell them, you know, what's relevant that you have to offer. So you always want to add value and interest to the conversation. You don't want to just push sale, sell, sell. But if there's a way you can develop your relationships over there first before you meet in person, or even after you meet in person, it's a way to enrich that initial introduction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it looks like we're just at, go ahead. Amy, did you want to say something?
I'm sorry. Are we almost out of time, Jeff?
We are, but we have another couple of minutes. I was just giving you guys like a 2-minute heads up.
Okay. I guess one thing I would want to talk about too is, you know, you mentioned reinventing yourself. I think it's critical these days to really use technology and all the ways that we can use technology to help create ultimate flexibility for men and women, because people are going to perform better and their careers are going to be much more sustainable and enjoyable and high performing when they're able to achieve balance in their lives. I hate it when I see a really, really out of shape executive who, you know, feels not good or their health is getting hit because they never take time to work out. You know, and I think people really want to feel connected to their families and their children too. And, you know, as success hackers, I think it's great that we have so many ways to have technology help us achieve that these days. And I'm very much a big supporter of the virtual workforce. Our team is spread out across the country. We even have one of our top folks in Vancouver, Canada. And working virtually a lot of the time has been very successful for us and enables our folks to have more of that flexibility, more of that work-life balance, but helps them go out and hit it out of the ballpark every day.
Yeah, that work-life balance. So we, you know, you used to hear a lot more about it, but really it's one of those things that never goes away. You know, we tend to, you know, get sucked into sitting in front of our computer all day, and next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock, and you're like, wow, where did my day go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of articles also written lately on, you know, sitting is not good for you. Go figure.
Right.
Right. And I love the discussions that, you know, a lot of outlets like Mashable, that's been something that they like to talk about a lot is, you know, different kinds of treadmill desks or a top blogger that I know, Wendy Purcell, she's been talking about this thing where it's like a little pedal thing that you put under your desk and you just, I don't know, you're kind of like pedaling on it all day. And she's been burning thousands of calories while writing her latest book.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an under desk bike, I think it's called. Yeah, that's great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we are just at our time, and Amy Hesser, we are very glad that you're able to join us for a few minutes this morning. Barb, why don't you tell everyone how they could, you know, listen to this and listen to our other podcasts?
Well, we're at Blog Talk Radio, so you can find us there. You can also search the hashtag SuccessHackers on Twitter. We forgot to say that Amy is at Amy Hesser, H-E-S-S-E-R, on Twitter if you want to find her. I'm at Wired PR Works, and Jeff is at Jay Willie on Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, have a great weekend, and we will look forward to seeing you. Nothing beats in real life, so looking forward to seeing both of you in real life very soon.
Sounds great.
Same here, Jack and Barbara. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
Have a great day.
You too. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.